Coddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
2 years into Jurgen Klopp's reign as Liverpool manager, and they faced yesterday one of their top four rivals in Tottenham, and there was one outcome which was pretty harsh to take. Let's have a chat with Dominic King from the Daily Mail about this. Well, morning, Dom.
Morning, Steve.
So 2 years on, how far has Jurgen taken the Reds?
How long have we got? I just thought... I wish I'd come up with this line myself, but I can't take credit for it. But I've seen Gareth Roberts from the Anfield Rapper put something on Facebook yesterday, and he said Klopp had asked doubters to become believers, and I said, well, I think believers are starting to become doubters just a little bit after that yesterday, because it was just everything that you keep on seeing. Every mistake that you sort of keep on seeing is being repeated. I mean, Dejan Lovren's half hour was just bewildering, really. You know, the two errors of judgment and the two soft goals. I mean, every goal Tottenham scored there yesterday was preventable. And these mistakes shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, they're gifts, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, Tottenham are a fabulous side. I'd probably say they're going to be Manchester City's biggest challenge for the title rather than Manchester United. I love Tottenham. I love everything about how they are going forward as a club. But Liverpool shouldn't have made it as easy as they did for them. No way whatsoever.
But this repetition of mistakes is something that everyone can see, and we all harp on about the same things. Maybe the same culprits in terms of who's involved in the errors, whether it be Mignolet, Lovren, Moreno, whatever. But the manager keeps a lot of faith with his players. Can you see it from his point of view?
I think he's been too loyal now. He bought Andy Robertson in the summer to you know, as a left back. It's time for him to have an extended run. We all know what happened with Van Dijk. Should somebody else have come in, because they lost Lucas Leiva as well, who was playing as a fourth central defender. Now they've got Joe Gomez there, but he's been playing as a right back. Should something else have been done to get another central defender in when they couldn't get Van Dijk? I think so, because you would argue that neither Clavan or Lovren or Matip. Matip certainly not covering himself in glory. I mean, this time last year we were lauding him for the assured start that he'd made, and then yesterday you see that head of the tease up the third goal, and you just wonder, you know, has he been afflicted as well by the mistakes that are going on?
So Klopp, a central defender by trade himself, so you'd think he'd know pretty much all the ins and outs of defensive work. What is it that he can't see or get right?
I'm not sure. There's one. I mean, we're obviously focusing on the way the defenders have been, but there's one goal that really sticks in my mind this year that Liverpool conceded, and it was the equaliser against Seville in the first Champions League match, and it came from a throw-in. It was a throw-in and a flick-on, and they ran straight through the middle of the pitch, basically. Now that to me suggests that there's problems all over the pitch, and it's just not the back four. If teams are scoring that kind of simple goal, then that would say to me that there's something's not working in all areas for teams to be able to do that to them.
It's so strange to put your finger on things. A few weeks ago, people were still saying, oh, could Liverpool be title challengers? Now they're essentially being absolutely written off from any hope whatsoever of maybe even being sort of top two, top three challengers.
Yeah,
it's difficult to sort of place where they are in their life.
Yeah, I'd never see them being title challengers this year. No way. If they'd got Van Dijk and Keita in, then maybe it would have been different. But given that the way the squad stayed, I just didn't see it. They finished fourth last year. They deserved to finish fourth last year, and they'll probably be around there again. They'll probably be around fourth. Listen, they've had a couple of bad results, but I think they'll be good enough to be fourth or fifth come the end of the year, because if and when the attack clicks, they'll blow most teams away. But you can't sort of improve if you can't look to improve your league position if you don't improve the squad. And I know the reasons why they signed Keita when they did, to stop an auction for him next year. But I didn't sort of get the celebrating amongst fans, certain fans of a certain generation, when they were, everybody was delighted when Keita was announced on the day before deadline day, because he's not here to help. There's no point, there's no point saying, isn't it brilliant that we've signed someone that's not going to be able to play for you? I never sort of understood that logic. So if you haven't, made improvements year on year, then it's very hard to sort of go forward, isn't it?
But one of our listeners, Robbie, made a point to me before. He said he thought that Lucas had left too soon for a number of reasons. Could still do a job on the pitch. An older head, a more experienced head. Definitely someone to have in the dressing room. It's easy in hindsight to say, but actually, he's doing pretty well at Lazio as well now. Lucas, would he still have had another season in him?
I think he would have, but I can understand why he wanted to leave, because, Steve, you knew him over 10 years as well. You knew the torment that he went through when he wasn't playing regularly. Oh, yeah. He just wanted to play football, and the service that he'd given to the club, you could understand the reasons why they let him leave, because this is his last move, the last sort of decent move that he would have got. And he's excelling over there, isn't he? But for all the reasons that you identified, he was a great lad around the place. He was, those sorts of people are invaluable to have, and he is missed. I do think he is missed.
So for Liverpool now, obviously after the massive win against Maribor last week and then the low of yesterday, the roller coaster continues. And they've got to find some sort of stability. Too many draws in the Premier League this season. And you look at the points gap between them and Spurs or even Man City now, and it just looks a little bit daunting already, Dom.
Yeah, well, forget about the top three with those. They're sort of... you don't sort of claw that kind of deficit back. I think the Premier League, has, over the last 10 years, 12 years maybe, has been settled or basically decided by the start that the teams get. It very rarely changes now. If teams get off to a good start, you can see where they're going to finish by the end of the year. Liverpool's, I think, the main objective would to be to try and squeeze into the top four. And you know what? I think they need more than anything. I think they need a couple of 3 or 4 1-0 wins over the next 6 weeks.
And maybe a big January as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they need a lot of pressure on Michael Edwards to sort of get some deals done to bolster them for the second half of the season.
Okay, let's go from the joy of Liverpool to Everton.
aren't we bringing happiness to people this morning?
It's wonderful, isn't it? Everyone's chosen the same headline, London 9, Merseyside 3. Look, Ronald Koeman apparently has been on the brink for weeks now. What's your understanding of how precarious his situation is?
Well, I don't think I'm saying anything revelation-wise in terms of it's not good. Yeah, it really isn't good. Obviously, no decision was made last night about his future. I don't know this for certain, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's still in charge on Wednesday against Chelsea and see how the week goes. I think it's an important point to make that this isn't like the final sort of throes of Roberto Martinez's reign, where the there was issues with the dressing room and the performances that he was getting from the players. There's still a lot of players who want Koeman to do well, who like him, who like the sort of no-nonsense approach that he's got. But it comes down to recruitment, and they've spent £70 million or £65 million on Davy Klassen and Gylfi Sigurdsson, and neither of them have made any kind of contribution whatsoever. Sigurdsson maybe scored that fabulous goal against Split on his debut, but since then I haven't seen him do a thing really. And when you're investing so much money in a player like that, then you've got to produce. Everton have never paid that money for a player before, and there's an awful lot of onus on him. The players that he signed need to start coming up with the goods.
Is the list of replacements for Ronald at the moment a little bit thin, Dom?
I think that they would have people in mind or who they would look at, but I mean it's all very well having people in mind, and getting them is a completely different thing. You know, will clubs allow somebody to go mid-season? You know, would a foreign name look at Everton and think, well, Everton might want the foreign name, but would the foreign name want to come to Everton? You know, there's so many sort of ifs and buts. And then the other thing is, if Koeman was to go and the new one was going to come in, they still got the same problem of not having a striker. And that can't be put right until January.
Just reading your piece in the mail here. You put in the press conference yesterday, just before he walked out, he said, write what you like to write. Yeah. And then you've compared it to what Steve McLaren said 10 years ago when he said that for England as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Koeman, he never sort of ducks anything. He'll always answer your questions. He never sort of goes missing at a press conference or anything like that, or starts, you know, looking for agendas like, you know, you've seen managers do in the past or whatever. He's very, very honest, but he knows the game inside out, and he knows when a manager's had a run of results like he's had and has invested the money that he has done, then there's only one sort of strand going to be published, and there is, you know, he is under huge pressure.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.